Hello and welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, for the 2nd of February, 2022. I'm joined by Leo.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about Whoopi Goldberg doubling down, the debate with Dr. Scholar that was very good, and also Bomb the Forums, Radicalize the Mums, is I suppose the chant of the mums on Mumsnet who are deciding to rebel. So that's all going to be fun. There's some things to mention first on the website. So the first thing here being a new video, tearing apart terrible COVID apologies. So this one being, I believe, from Harry. I think this is freemium, so usually premium, but we made this one free because I think it's good and people should go and watch it. So go and check that out. You don't have to subscribe for that one on lotuseaters.com. Go to the next one. You can see the CCP's obsession with population control. There's an article by Hugo that's new and, of course, has an audio track for Silver and Gold team members to go and learn that.
Is that because they've suddenly made an about change from it? It used to be there was a one-child policy and now they're like, no, you got to have more kids.
The party that is never wrong has changed its policy, but it's still not wrong.
Yeah.
It was the right policy for the right time. Yeah. Sure. Okay. So go
and
check.
Let us know how many children to have, please, Mr. Government.
Yes. So go and check that one out. And then the next thing to mention is a freemium video, Super Cyber Soldiers. So this is from John and Josh, in which they took a look at the, let's say, Soldiers of Tomorrow and the power armor. And then the last thing to mention, of course, follow us on Getter, but also you can follow Leo on Getter.
There's me. I'm on Getter.
Leo Curse.
Yeah. And on Twitter and on YouTube.
Anyway. So without further ado, let's get into the news. So Whoopi Goldberg has decided to double down on her claim that the Holocaust was not about race, was not racist, to kill all the Jews. It's a strong claim. I thought we'd start this off, though, with something I learned yesterday that Josh tweeted out that I think is really funny. She's not called Whoopi Goldberg.
Of course, right.
That's a stage name. So as you can see, Josh saying here, Whoopi Goldberg, whose birth name is Karen Johnson, got the name Whoopi from farting in front of her colleagues, and Goldberg because she wanted a Jewish-sounding name to win favor in Hollywood. So in effect, her name is Gassy Jew. Unironically, that is actually her name, her stage name as she chose it, because neither of those are her name, which, And I think we'll keep that in mind going forward. But the first thing to mention on her comments, because I'm sure most people have seen it now, she went on The View and said that the Holocaust was not about race.
Yeah.
Because it's just white-on-white crime. I don't know.
Even though the people committing, you know, the Holocaust... Yeah. Said it was about race.
For the Aryan race, the master race. And no. But this is, of course, the difference between the, let's say, American conception of race, or at least the critical race theorists who are all American, their conception of race, which is entirely just skin color.
Yeah.
Are you white or black? Therefore, a Jew living in Israel for the last 3,000 years is part of the white race.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make any sense, but okay. This is, of course, different to how Europeans see race, and, of course, different to how the Nazis themselves saw race as well, whereas you could break these things down into, like, Slavs, non-Slavs, Germans, Mediterraneans, Arabs, Africans, so on and so forth.
And in Scotland, we actually break it down into individual valleys and villages.
Which borough you're in.
So, yeah, if you're not from the valley, you know...
You're not part of the Scottish race.
No, you're part of the Scottish race, but you're not part of the pin punt race, or whatever village you're in.
Wrong clan. Well, this is the update here. So as you can see, someone posting, Whoopi Goldberg gets 2 weeks slap on the wrist suspension over her Holocaust comments, but they fired Sharon Osbourne for just speaking up in support of Piers Morgan. And this is totally true. I thought this was true.
And then what had Piers Morgan, had he shot up a school or something? What had he done?
He said Meghan Markle was full of crap.
Oh, right. And obviously there's no evidence for that whatsoever, so Piers was completely wrong about that. But Piers probably tapped her phone, so he knows he knows stuff. We should defer to his greater knowledge.
Probably got a text. But there was the point of the fact that Sharon Osbourne, one of the viewers, was just like, yeah, Piers isn't wrong. Meghan's full of shit. And I shouldn't swear, but she is. Mm. And if we go to the next one, you can see Piers' response to all this. And whatever the tweet was, it was deleted now. Yes, but Sharon Osbourne didn't do or say anything wrong. She was bullied into numerous apologies and still got fired for defending me over false racism claims, just as I got forced out of my job for refusing to believe Meghan Markle's lies. The double standard is laughable.
You'd have thought there'd be double standards with this sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, just if Whoopi Goldberg was any other race, what would have happened? And this is the question another user mentioned, so if we go to the next link, please. We can see them posting, if Whoopi Goldberg was any other race, she'd have been fired from her job for her comments. As Sharon Osbourne was far, far milder.
Unless she was in the Labour Party, in which case she'd have been promoted.
Yeah. because I don't know, their new race advisor on the Jewish community.
Have the Labour Party got a race advisor on the Jewish community?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Who is it? Like Oswald Mosley? Like, I mean,
it's his grandson.
Who got this? Like, yeah, Goebbels. Like,
is it my father before him was in the Labour Party and my father? Yeah. So, but there's the obvious point. There's some brown privilege for you. Whoopi gets away with it because it fits in with the CRT narrative, and also because of her skin tone. Hmm. Let's be frank, and it is evident by the point made of Sharon Osbourne just saying she didn't believe Meghan Markle, therefore banned for life.
Yeah.
However, I
mean, obviously Whoopi shouldn't be cancelled from the show for saying this.
No, we were having
But Sharon shouldn't have been cancelled either. Like, it's the thing about cancellations like this is means that everybody has to, like, sort of, in any discourse, has to have a total stick up their anus.
She's got to be banned from the airwaves.
You got to make sure that you don't say anything that could possibly be interpreted as... So everybody's, like, filtering through all these, like, layers of possible offence. So nobody's speaking honestly. And people have got to be able to speak honestly, otherwise you don't know what they mean.
Yes, I want to know what she really thinks.
Yeah. I want to know what crazy stuff she thinks about the Holocaust.
And we were saying this just before. Like, when was the last time you gave a crap about The View? No one cares.
Is it just in America? It's like Loose Women, but for America.
Yeah, right. And well, when do you care? When something like this happens, which is interesting. So yeah, keep going, Whoopi. I want to hear more. I don't agree with her being suspended for 2 weeks at all. In fact, bring Sharon Osbourne back. Have a fight. That'll be the most interesting TV in the world. However, she then decided to go out and double down on this, like, ridiculous proposition, which I think we should go through because it's fucking hilarious. So you can see the tweet here, Stephen Colbert interviewing her, because, again, just get invited on Stephen Colbert after this, of course. And she decided to say that the Nazis were lying about their racism. Hmm. They were secretly anti-racist, I suppose. Let's play the first
one. This like when people are, they're not racist, but they've got inherent racism or something like that? So this is, they are being racist, but they've got inherent non-racism?
They're just bigoted against different cultures, not different races.
Right.
That's
glad we clarified that.
Have you come to understand that the Nazis saw it as race?
Well,
because they might, like, asking the Nazis, they would say, yes, it's a racial issue.
Well, see, this is what's interesting to me, because the Nazis lied. It wasn't. They had issues with ethnicity. Not with race, because most of the Nazis were white people, and most of the people they were attacking were white people. So to me, I'm thinking, how can you say it's about race if you are fighting each other?
Dumb, dumb, dumb.
I mean, that's offensive to both Jews and Nazis.
Yes.
That's incredible. She's saying...
I made it perfectly clear, my views.
Yeah. It's like, that's her apology.
That's her doubling down. After making an apology that was like, oh, I was totally wrong. But also, the Nazis were lying. They were secretly not racists. So she's making the argument. And of course, from her perspective, the American critical racist perspective of race, which is just that there are white people and brown people. That's it.
Yeah.
Because these people don't have a fucking brain and say stuff like this. And of course, that does not represent reality. And especially the reality of the Nazis who did the Holocaust. Because if you're going to look at a crime, you have to look at it through the perpetrator's eyes to understand it.
Mm.
And through the Nazi eyes, well, they have various racial views, of course, various racial theories on race. And I also love that she mentions that it's white people fighting white people. Remember the Jews that were just in a war with the Nazis, not being exterminated when they had no guns? They were fighting.
They were fighting each other.
Yes.
Rather than being rounded up by a highly efficient militarized killing machine.
Yeah. But if we go to this image, so this is just some Nazi propaganda to make the point, which is that, well, yes, it's different racial groups as the Nazis see it. Of course, you have the Aryan race, and within there you have different classes. You have the Germanics and the Nordics at the top, the British and the French and whatnot, or the sort of middle lower class, and then the Mediterraneans, and then the everyone else, the subhumans, which included Jews, Slavs, I think basically all the Africans, Gypsies, Roma, the list goes on. But of course, the main focus, of course, being on Jews because of Hitler's obsession with the Jews and how they were.
Why was he so obsessed with Jews? I never understood that.
There's a great video from...
Is it because of the Weimar Republic and, like, Jews were seen as, like, you know, bankers and business owners and stuff?
It's not just that. There's a theory, and this is going to sound mad, but please trust me, it is actually what Hitler believes, which is that if you go and watch Tick's video, Hitler's Socialism, you'll find this as well. He goes through, in Hitler's own ideology, the Jews controlled capitalism.
Right.
And they were using this system to make a crisis in which they could then overthrow the government and form a socialist government, all over the world, socialist revolution, because they controlled socialism too, and therefore they would then be in control and the proletariat be working for the Jews.
Right.
That was unironically Hitler's view.
Right. That's crazy. I mean, that sounds a lot like
global Jewish conspiracy.
Something that Jeremy Corbyn would say.
Yes.
I mean, that's the parallels there are just nuts.
It's friggin' mad, but yeah. It is Hitler, so what were you expecting? Yeah. But if you don't believe me, go and check out Tick's video, as I mentioned, T-I-K, Hitler's Socialism. It's a great video just to try and explain what the hell those people thought. And so we've gone through that, and there you are. However, if we go to Hitler's response to all this, so this is the Babylon Bee, who have issued a fake news article, of course. Whilst watching The View in hell, Hitler is surprised to learn that the Holocaust wasn't about race. It's very upset. Hitler issued a statement strongly condemning Whoopi Goldberg's crazy conspiratorial views that race had nothing to do with his actions. I was very clear about this, Hitler is quoted as saying. But let's go back to the second part of that doubling down, which I think is also of interest.
So the view, of course, is shown on a loop in hell.
Let's go to the next clip and play that.
So it all really began because I said, how will we explain to children what happened in Nazi Germany? This wasn't racial. This was about white on white. And everybody said, no, it was racial. And so that's what this all came from. So once again, don't write me anymore. I know how you feel. Okay, I already know. I get it. And I'm going to take your word for it and never bring it up again.
I thought that was amazing because she doesn't accept that she's wrong at all.
Yeah.
She still thinks she's right, which is just so demonstrably incorrect on the whole situation because she has this stupid opinion, which is that it's just white on white. It's just white on white, bro. It's just they just hate each other because they, I don't know, one spun a dreidel and one liked goose stepping. Mm. It's like, no, there are the racial claims between the two. Mm. There's also the hilarious point, as Harry made, which is that this all started because they were discussing this book, Mouse, that had been taken out of the curriculum in some American school. And on page one of Mouse, if we can load up that second image there, you can actually see a quote from the author, quoting Adolf Hitler. The Jews are undoubtedly a race, but they are not human. Adolf Hitler.
And what is this book?
This is Mouse. So this is that book was taken out of circulation from an American school, and that was what sparked the debate on The View that led to Whoopi Goldberg saying that the Holocaust wasn't about race.
Right.
Like, you haven't even read the book you're discussing.
Why is this in schools?
It's a graphic novel about the Holocaust, so it was to explain how the Holocaust is an inhuman act and sort of thing. You can do it other ways, of course.
Yeah.
It's not particularly hard to show that the Holocaust is bad. But let's go on to the next meme, which is, I think, a summation of Whoopi Goldberg's opinions, apparently, which is everybody is a racist, except for Hitler. Hitler's not a racist. Every white person, racist. All upholding whiteness. Adolf Hitler, not a racist dude. He just hated white people. That's within the race, of course. And then I thought it was interesting because I saw David also mentioned on Getter the fact that there's an image that's recircled of Whoopi Goldberg. Let's go to the next one. You can see, so this is Whoopi Goldberg with her then white boyfriend enjoying a bit of blackface. Just okay. Fine.
So yep. That's Ted Danson.
This guy, also not a racist, I presume. This is apparently her boyfriend, which...
Ted Danson, I think it is.
There you are. Moving on. So I thought we'd go to then the next part, which is that apparently she had the ADL on to tell her why she's wrong, because she still hadn't learned, I guess, as to why she's obviously wrong.
Yeah.
And this is a clip that the ADL put on their own Twitter feed to promote the fact that, oh, look, our CEO has gone on and educated her that the Holocaust was a racist act because it was done on racial lines. However, have you noticed what the ADL's been up to recently?
They've changed the definition of racism.
They have.
So it used to be quite clear and simple and obvious, you know, and racism is, you know, any sort of hatred or
discrimination based
prejudice
on race.
Based on race, which now they've overcomplicated. Who'd have thought woke people would overcomplicate something? Now they've added complications in because it's only certain races.
Well, purposely so. I think they want to destroy the language fundamentally. Mm. I mean, you'll see it, and I've mentioned Carl's mentioned in the Critical Race Theory books, but they'll argue that they want to expand the definition of words to include its antonym. So it's like racism includes non-racism at that point, and in reverse.
Right.
It's mad.
But they've changed it so that it's perpetrated by white people.
Yes. So if we go to the next link, we can see the definition, and Sitch making the point that the ADL also believed the Nazis weren't racist, according to their own definition. So if you can get up this picture, please, John, we can actually see the definition. As you can see, ADL, definition, racism. Racism, the marginalization and or oppression of people of color based on a socially constructed racial hierarchy that privileges white people. Nothing else.
So it's just right.
Think about that for a minute. Well, if the Jews are white as well, then the Holocaust wasn't about race, according to the ADL. The Nazis weren't racist. Right.
That's a really... I've got issues with that definition. Like, the previous definition worked because it was clear...
And logical.
And fair. And it treated all races equally. This now treats certain races differently. So it says, it basically says white people are the only perpetrators of racism and white people cannot be victims of racism. So basically it's saying white people are a subhuman race, which is racist.
But also
according to the previous definition of racism.
The ADL taking exactly Whoopi Goldberg's position. If we go to the next link, this is still up as well, which I find amazing. And you can see the same definition there, just at the top there. It's the point, though, that Whoopi Goldberg is saying it's white people versus white people in the Holocaust. Versus. But then the fact that, okay, well, if we take her position there, that the Jews in the Holocaust are also white, therefore there was no racism taking place, according to the Anti-Defamation League. I mean, this is how much of a laughing stock they are, if you weren't convinced at this point of anything else. I mean, just openly saying that, essentially, if you have brown skin, you can't be racist. And if a white person discriminates against a white person, that's not racism. Because we don't think any further. We just see the skin tone, and that's it. That's as deep as our thinking goes. That's the anti-racist position. And I thought we'd mention the last thing here I wanted to point out, which is just a quote from Chris Rufo, pointing out that this is just critical race theory in action. And he gives us a link here. The link to the paper, its name, can you guess? Critical Whiteness Studies and the Jewish Problem.
What?
Yes. The critical race theorists. They were discussing the Jewish problem.
What on earth?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I hope they don't try and come up with any solutions. I mean, this is, oh my God,
there
Jesus.
Is no camouflage ever. Have they,
like, this is, I mean, that's evil. That's so bad.
But this is just how they talk. And the Jewish problem for them is that Jews, you know, are they white? And this is what he's debating in here, this author. And in here, he comes to the conclusion that is amazing. Assimilating Jews into whiteness, conceived in this manner, is not innocent social history, but reveals a clear political ambition. It has to be proven that the fundamentalist racial issue is linked to the color line between whites and blacks, while everything should be considered negligible. Ethnic identities, differences, controversies between ethnic groups, and discrimination on any other basis than color should be considered as insignificant in the light of the plight of the black population. I was like, right, so any ethnic or racial divisions are not of note compared to the differences between white and black people. So therefore, the plight of Jews is to just be categorized in with whiteness.
Right.
They're just part of whiteness.
Right.
So anything they went through is, quite frankly, negligible.
That's
not important.
Insanity.
But it is what Whoopi Goldberg essentially gets to when she ends up saying that, well, it's just white versus white people, so it's not racism.
That's insanity.
Absolutely mad. I mean, I know how we've shown a million times how critical race theory is just crap.
Yeah.
But this is where it leads you. It leads you to not only politicians like both Joe Biden, as we mentioned before, just saying that I'm going to hire a black woman for the Supreme Court, regardless of if she's any good.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the candidates he was, at least Vox were listing as one of the potential candidates, had been a judge for a week. But she was a black woman. It's ridiculous.
And I mean, the problem with, like, saying it out, you know, if he's overt about the fact that he's hiring purely based on skin color, is the fact that it completely demeans any accomplishments by, you know, and whoever he actually puts into the post, they might have got the role anyway.
Yes.
But they'll forever be tarred with the fact that Joe Biden said, you're just getting this role from tokenism.
I mentioned, as a way to fight back, no one should learn her name, whoever she is. We should just call her diversity hire. Just judge diversity hire from now on.
Yeah.
And whoever gets given that position, you shouldn't have accepted it, frankly.
It's the absolute worst thing that Joe Biden could have done for actually any genuine sort of racial integration and progress.
Yeah. And you also see the influence of critical race theory, not only there, but as I said, with Whoopi Goldberg's retarded comments.
Yeah.
But let's end that there. Let's move forward.
Not backwards. Sideways. and forever twirling. So this is last week. Basically, I got in a lot of trouble. I don't know if anybody saw it. It's actually the number one story.
Did you get in trouble, or were there a lot of people who were just mad?
Well, this is the thing. There's a lot of people who are just mad, but I got death threats, which I consider getting in trouble. Basically, you can't. You got to be super careful what you say. This is what I've found out. You can't say something that seems perfectly reasonable and, you know, logically sounds reasonable, because if you if you upset a certain part of the population, a certain demographic, there's no balance or logic or reason.
That peaceful part of the demographic will send you death threats.
Yeah. So you get death threats. So yeah, and I think that's that's probably why you don't see any sort of honest critiquing or exploration of a lot of issues pertaining to that.
For people who don't know what we're talking about, we should probably get this up.
So let's get this up. So this basically, I was called on to Good Morning Britain on ITV to do a debate with Dr. Shola. And it's funny. I was laughing before it even started, because the host, Kate Garraway, couldn't pronounce Dr. Shola's last name. So if you play this clip, you can see this.
Well, lawyer Dr. Shola Moshe-Birami, let me do that again. Okay. Dr. Shola, you say your surname, because I'm useless this morning.
You see me trying not to crack up.
Okay, so read it phonetically. I'm not going to let you get away with that. Read it phonetically.
Okay, I'm going to give it a go. Moshe-Birami.
Well done.
Thank you very much. By the way, I also stumble like that over Smith. So, it's nothing to do with anything else. I just struggle to get my words out most mornings.
I like how she said she struggles with Smith while pronouncing Smith absolutely perfectly. There's no problem pronouncing Smith.
But people might not find a problem with that. But Carl mentioned it. I hadn't picked up on it, which is, and we'll mention it early. She's the descendant of royalty, Miss Shola.
Yeah.
Okay. So she is using a foreign name. I mean, the name there is of a foreign tongue. Therefore, it's not unreasonable for someone not to be able to say it. And she's of royal descent. It would be like a British aristocrat going over to India and be like, no, it's Mr. Charmingsworth. Say it properly. No, I won't let you get away with that. Like, they don't speak your tongue, literally. I mean, it's
Oh, and also, Welsh people quite often have difficult to pronounce names. Irish people, you meet somebody, you see their name, it's like Siobhan. It's like, oh, hello, Siobhan. And they're like, no, it's Siobhan. And it's like, well, why have you spelt it Siobhan? You know what I mean?
The very privileged position she's in. And then to sit down and like look down on the local of not being able to speak a foreign tongue.
Yeah. And obviously Kate Garraway was dragged for being racist for not immediately understanding the, whatever Nigerian dialect, wherever it's from. And I'm sorry if it's not Nigeria, I'm not trying to commit another hate crime.
It's not English. That's enough.
Yeah, basically, it's not. And we're not all experts on every single language around the world. But yeah. Anyway, I thought it was hilarious. But basically, I was on there to make a few points about cancel culture. So I was going to say good people are having their careers destroyed and lives ruined for expressing perfectly reasonable opinions or making jokes that are misinterpreted. Anyone digging back through 12 years of tweets, like an offence archaeologist, clearly has malicious intentions. Nobody's going back that far and just accidentally stumbling over something that somebody
interested
said.
Interested in what you said 12 years ago.
Yeah, like what you doing? Like you'd go to a pub and look, did he say anything bad 12 years ago? When you were having a few pints together? No, nobody, it's so weird. It's just a social media phenomenon. And the threat of cancellation hangs over us like the sword of Damocles. So none of us can be open. Like Whoopi Goldberg clearly has some pretty loopy ideas, but I'd rather she says them and then can be corrected than like everybody's like sitting around not saying anything and just having those wrong ideas inside them. That seems like a healthier way to live. And also there's a climate of fear and paranoia that we've all got to live in. It stifles free debate, prevents us from expressing ourselves freely, and instead we say what we think people want to hear. We say what we think society deems acceptable. So that's not. And living under that fear and paranoia.
Yeah, it's no way to grow either, because the whole point of free speech and free debate and these discussions is so we can grow as people and learn things.
Yeah,
if
absolutely.
You stop that, then we can't grow or learn.
And learn from each other. And also, the people who... most often get tripped up are people who are, you know, pretty much fully integrated, have lots of friends across all different creeds and demographics. And so when you're comfortable with your friends, you're not just sitting there saying the you're having banter and stuff with them. You're not just sitting saying the guardian ordained correct thing to say. You know, you're in each other's lives and you're having fun and you're making fun of each other. That's a British thing. We make fun of each other and it brings us all together. Nobody's above anybody else. And which, you know, isn't the same in every society. So also I just wanted to say, you know, we should all be a bit more tolerant and forgiving of each other.
That's a dangerous message.
So then Dr. Shola brought up Boris Johnson's letterbox comment, which we shall not repeat. But here's a clip of her bringing it up.
When Boris Johnson, just a few years ago, when he referred to Muslim women in their burqas and niqabs as letterboxes and even compared them to armed robbers, Islamophobia went up by 375% the week after. Just think about that for a second. So whether it was said 10 years ago, 20 years ago, it was hate. It was wrong then and it is wrong now.
The thing is, so I sort of defended Boris. I said it's not, well, we can see what I say here. Boris Johnson said that he thought that women in burqas look like letterboxes. That's not an expression of hate. It's just a visual gag because they've got they look a bit like letterboxes. It's not a hateful thing. The only hate that I can see is from the people doing the cancelling.
I'm sorry,
who are destroying people's lives based on little, you know, offhand jokes, some tweet from 12 years ago. So they dig back, they hound on them like a public execution. They destroy people's lives. Lawrence Fox and his entire acting career destroyed over expressing a perfectly reasonable opinion. I think the cancel culture is poisonous,
it's
invidious.
Okay,
it's changing our culture.
Do you think she thinks it's unacceptable? And you're expressing what they want to express. Let's just let this Dr. Shola respond.
So why is it okay to use gammon to refer to a middle-aged white man? Why is saying gammon okay? Because of the red cheeks. Why is Boris Johnson's comment racist and calling someone a gammon isn't racist?
Of Muslim women.
And then the host just rounded up and said, we're out of time.
Yeah, so, yeah, and we actually had to go to an ad break. So it wasn't, you know, but basically Boris made the letterbox comment in an article defending the burqa and defending Muslims' right to wear them because they'd been banned, the burqa had been banned in Denmark. So he wasn't being hateful. He was being, you know, he was saying, no, come on, we're British. We're all, you know, it might, in his opinion, not mine. I think it's fucking, I think it's great. In his opinion, might look silly or whatever, but you know, we're all British, we're all gonna muck in together, and you know, of course, we shouldn't ban it. And you know, I love the burqa. I mean, I'm a misogynist, so anything that's a visual representation of patriarchal dominance over women, I'm like, yeah, come on, let's do it. I'll convert to Islam, I love it. Like, you know, I think the burqa is great, and also, Dr. Shola said that. Claimed that violence against Muslim women soared in the week after Johnson's comments. This is an oft-quoted, people quote this very often, but if you look at the actual figures down here, this is based on a claim of a 375% increase in unverified self-reported calls to Tell Mama, which is an independent reporting service, not police crime reports. We scroll down some more. So these calls relate to instances of verbal abuse and rose from a baseline of less than one per day in the week prior to Johnson's comments. So if you go down till you get to the graph. So here we go. Here's the graph. And they've like smoothed it out so it looks like there's loads. But look, there's the numbers on the left-hand side.
Seven.
There's like one, peak. Zero, three. You know, we're talking, and this is across a whole country of like 80 million people, plus whoever's, you know, here and not documented. But, you know, this is, you know, they rose to a peak of seven in a day. And obviously any racism is bad. Any racism is terrible. But, you know, we're not talking... like a huge, this is an epidemic of violence, and this related to you know, people being called, you know, racial slurs, so being called things like, you know, letterbox or ninja or something like that in the street.
I do know some history of Tell Mama, and I know that they are fast and loose, of course, with the definition of Islamophobia.
Exactly. So we've got an example of where is it? Where did I put it? Baroness Flather, I think she's a Tory peer. She said about Muslims. There's no point Tories appealing to the Muslim community because she said they're all in benefits of Vote Labour. That was recorded as a sort of a hate crime, a violent abuse by Tell Mama. So when people talk about the, you know, that's the kind of thing they're recording. Somebody saying they're going to vote Labour.
Which, they do, by Labour's own numbers. We actually have them. I don't know if you've seen them.
85%, which, you know...
It's high. According to Labour, it's 95.
Jeez. So. I mean, I'm not entirely... Well, I'm a little bit surprised. I mean, especially the Tories now have the most ethnically diverse cabinet in UK parliamentary history. So, you know, when we're talking about... When she's talking about violence against... You know, Muslim women in the street, it's verbal comments, and most of them are online as well. So somebody does a Facebook post, it gets reported, so it's not even directed against a specific person. It's, you know, a lot of it is, you know, obviously it's still bad. It's still bad if people are, you know, saying...
Racism's still bad.
Racism's still bad, you know? And, like, you know, like, I think we all know that. Even, you know, people that are condemned as fascists and racists actually aren't racist, you know? Yeah. I mean, we're not... Like, we know racism is bad. And police reports don't corroborate all the results that Tell Mama report. So, you know, like, even in the aftermath of the Woolwich, the guy who's beheaded in Woolwich by Islamists... obviously, there was a rise in Islamophobia the week after. So there was, you know, a mosque was firebombed. There's graffiti and stuff like that, which is bad. But a lot of the stuff that Tell Mama was reporting was
in response to Boris's comments were just phone calls.
Yeah, yeah, and in the aftermath of the Woolwich attack, and you know, a guy got his head cut off. So you'd expect there'd be some, you know, rise in, you know, negative comments against the people who, you know,
we're thankful no one else got their head cut off.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So, and like in the aftermath of the Woolwich beheading, Tell Mama confirmed to the Sunday Telegraph that about 120 of its 212 anti-Muslim incidents took place only online. So yeah, and I also made the point that the term gammon is a racist slur. Mm. So I mean, obviously, according to critical race theory, you can't be racist against white people and blah blah blah. But you know, according to my definition of racism, which is the original definition of racism, it is. I mean, gammon is a racist slur. It's used as a pejorative, so it's a slur, and it's based on skin color. So according to Wikipedia, the term refers in particular to the color of a person's flushed face when expressing their strong opinions. So a white person expressing strong opinions, typically a middle-aged man. Dr. Shola and, you know, people of her opinion, of her, you know, critical race theory opinion, insist that gammon is not racist because it doesn't exist in the historical, hierarchical, systemically racist power structures that uphold and perpetuate privileged white supremacy.
It's against whitey, so we don't care.
Man, I think if you need to spin off half an equalities dissertation to justify your racism, you know what I mean? You're probably a racist. And yeah, being lectured on privilege by the wealthy Cambridge-educated daughter of a Nigerian prince is hugely ironic. I mean, you can see that irony.
But that's what me
space.
And Carl couldn't go over when we were watching it. And she's going, this is unacceptable. And she's like, Shola, like, you're the descendant of royalty.
Yeah.
You've got more privilege than anyone in this country could possibly have, except maybe the Queen.
Yeah.
And you're there being like, I'm going to talk down to Leo on this and shut him up. Like,
yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah. And I disagree that power structures, the whole critical race thing is based on the premise that power structures, that all the systems, organisations around us like promote and favour white people. And I disagree. The promotion of equality and diversity in all organizations. So all organizations now have like equality, diversity and inclusion coordinators. And despite, you know, them calling themselves equality, diversity and inclusion coordinators, we know it's really just, it's how can we exclude straight white men in some way? You know what I mean?
We have the jobs. Yeah, I mean, we featured it many a time. You know, job applications literally just says whites need not apply.
Yeah. No, like, so you've got all those,
all that
all those
privilege.
People. Yeah, I mean, like, so we can see that, you know, if anybody's being discriminated against systemically, it's white people. I mean, it's there to see in black and white. No, when I say black and white, I don't mean that in a hateful term, okay? And my Muslim ex-girlfriend, who actually, man, if you want to hear, you know, stories of oppression, like date a Muslim woman. But so she changed her LinkedIn profile to one that she described as more ethnic. After, you know, in the wake of all the Black Lives Matter stuff, because obviously they're hiring, everybody was looking for, you know, more ethnic people to
hire. Good strategy.
So yeah, she did that. And so, you know, for people to be, you know, emphasizing their ethnicity rather than, you know, denying it, surely shows that there's been a change in society. Not that I'm ever sure, you know, society was, you know, in the last like 20 years, society was particularly racist or you know, favored white people. But that's, you know, all the organizations I've worked in have been enormously diverse. So, you know, so yeah, and yeah, anyway. And the woke establishment and media downplay, you know, anti-white crimes such as, you know, the Rotherham grooming gangs or, you know, suicide bombs, rarely mentioning, you know, the racially aggravated aspect of those crimes. So, I mean, Hillary Clinton describing the Sri Lankan suicide bomb victims. It was a church that was bombed.
Easter worshippers.
Easter worshippers. Instead of describing them as Christians, she described them as Easter worshippers. I mean, bear in mind, you know, I'm saying that they weren't white, obviously, but so that's a terrible example by me. But you know,
well, no, because they consider Christianity to be whiteness.
Yeah, whiteness.
Even if everyone in the church is black, it's still white.
It's the religion of colonialism. So we've, you know, exported it around the world or whatever. But yeah. And someone else on Twitter said that gammon is not racist as it was first used by Charles Dickens, because of course nothing first used by a white man in the 18th century could possibly be racist. You know what I mean? Anyway, I just think I defended Britain. You know, I said, you know, I don't believe it's the seething cesspit of racism and intolerance that angry wokists say it is. Britain's a warm, welcoming, tolerant country. So the only hate and intolerance I see is from shrieking wokists striving to destroy people's lives. So, you know, I thought I was fairly balanced, you know, in the thing. And I was, you know, anyway, obviously the press seized on it. And, you know, there's always the Sun. I think the Sun had a headline calling me racist. Edinburgh Live, I don't think that's a real newspaper.
Name
but,
the race. Name the race involved.
Racist comedian. Like, it's just, they can do that. They put it in inverted commas because they're quoting somebody's tweet. Yeah. So basically, if you want to...
One of their friends, usually, which is always funny.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, my mate posted this so I can quote it in my newspaper. It's like, right.
Yeah.
That's journalism.
Yeah. And how come the people who think that everybody's equal are the racists now? And the people who think that certain, you know, certain demographics, certain races should be held back and pushed down, yeah, and other ones should be promoted, they're the ones who aren't racist. It seems weird. It seems really weird. Some celebrities got... Well, I say celebrity, we're talking Alex Beresford on the next thing. So Alex Beresford, so he's the guy, he's the weatherman who like walked off...
Weatherman.
No, he got Piers to walk, he yeah. criticised Piers. And Piers walked off Good Morning Britain. And since then, ratings have slumped for Good Morning Britain. It's probably why they got me on. Get some... But anyway, so Alex Beresford called me out. Well, where are you going? Go back. Alex Beresford called me out and, you know, tries to call me out for this. And
how dare you justify a thing looking like another thing?
Yeah. And I was like, damn, I've upset the weather girl. But yeah, the only hate I see, I don't think Boris... Well, Boris definitely wasn't being hateful. You know, it was, you know, possibly a little bit of a sort of dog whistle, but, you know, he wasn't being hateful. The article, the content of the article was defending Muslims and defending the burqa, you know. So Boris...
Defending the sanctity of the burqa.
Yeah.
Perfect garment.
Defending it, you know what I mean? I love the irony of all these, like, woke liberals who, like, you know, if a man smiles at a woman, you know, they're like, oh my God, that's rape. And then, you know, like, they're defending a garment that, you know, bless it, it's, you know, it's a symbol of female oppression.
Because it's forced upon women who don't want it.
That's why I love it. So yeah, the next thing. So if you scroll up, Femi, what's his face? Go down just to where Femi says. So Femi says, seriously, Luke Harris, hope you hear me on this. Anthony Jeselnik and Daniel Sloss are two of my favourite comedians, and their humour is probably darker than anything you've ever done. But they recognise their role as comedians in context. You don't. What does he mean by in context? So if you scroll down, I replied to him, I'm like, hi, what do you mean by a role as a comedian in context? I mean, bear in mind that Howard Jacobson describes comedians as public philosophers. So, you know, I think I've got a right to discuss issues. And I also asked, you know, what did I say that upset you? Somebody just replied to me saying it means know your place, which is true. He's saying, like, you know, you're a comedian, you should just make jokes about, you know, little things. You can't make jokes about certain things. So, I don't know. I think comedy should be able to discuss anything. If we move on to the next one, I got millions of people. So police, you know what I mean? Like, what have I said? What have I said that's a crime? I can't believe it. Well, like, I mean, I got death threats and stuff, and I'm actually hesitant about going to the police about them because, well, number one, I don't want to, like, you know, suddenly become, like, a target. And number two, the police will probably be like, well, actually, we're going to arrest you instead, you know?
Like, you know what? As embarrassing as it is, I think probably one of the officers will have that thought.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they'll think, well, he may have death threats against him, but he did say something offensive.
Yeah, yeah, that could possibly be misconstrued as offensive. And yeah, I think it's...
pointing out the bleeding obvious.
We've seen people getting arrested. There's a woman questioned by the police just last week in Scotland. They said, you haven't committed a crime, but we just want to check your thinking. So, yeah. If we go to the next one. That's somebody... That's women of colour. Basically defending Boris and criticising Alex Beresford. Because, you know, I don't know, some women, I mean, I guess they're Islamophobic women, but some Muslim women think that the burqa is bad. And I think those women are wrong. And
damn those Islamophobic Muslims.
Yeah. Yeah. So somebody else says, the Prime Minister of the country made the same joke and the plebs still voted him in. Because everybody seemed to assume that I said it. I didn't say it. I was just talking about what Boris said. It's not my joke. All my jokes are great. And they all, like, celebrate how great the burqa is and how it doesn't look like anything. And but this just shows how, you know, misreporting in the media can lead to this kind of stuff. Move on to the next one. Yeah, so if you scroll up a bit, apparently I'm no longer a human. So I'm unhuman now, according to whoever that is. And this person says, yeah, nuns are penguins, because we've referred to nuns as penguins. And I do agree that nuns look a bit like penguins. But that's all.
That's okay. That's not going to get you death threats.
That's all. I just, you know, I think nuns look like penguins, but that's the only thing that I think looks like something else.
Don't at me, nuns.
Leo's a coward. He wouldn't dare call Muslim women a letterbox. I didn't call anybody. I was talking about Boris. Jeez. Boris is the one who should be in trouble for this. Jesus. It's mental. If you scroll up, you can see this this woman said, thanks for calling it out, because the impact of rhetoric, like Leo's, apparently it's rhetoric now, doesn't just affect Muslim women who wear the burqa, but even Muslim women in general, like myself.
Why are you not wearing the burqa?
I replied saying, good for you for wearing a symbol of patriarchal oppression. As a misogynist, I really appreciate it. And then somebody else called me out for being like, oh, he's trying to defend it, saying he's a feminist. It's like, I'm not a feminist.
What did you call me?
I'm delighted to see this battle between, you know, like, you know, it blows my mind that, you know, all these, like, woke lefty feminists are, like, you know, all, like,
cover
defending
the women up.
Yeah, like, nothing, I feel like I'm at the circus. It's mental. Nothing makes sense, you know? Nothing makes sense. So if we move on to the next one. So this woman seemed to have a complete bee in her bonnet about it. So if you click on expand out that comment, so she's basically blah 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 blah, and she seems to think that, you know, it's a joke that I made, even though it's clear if you watch the full clip that it's Boris, and it's brought up by Shola. I wanted to talk about cancel culture. Ironically, I ended up getting cancelled. She didn't stop there. She then, if you move on to the next tab, she calls me a paedophile. Which, so that's Cat Deal Lamb calling me a paedophile. I don't know what her, you know, I don't know why she would do
she
that.
Does she have a fetish for being sued?
LinkedIn took the comment down, so when I went back to get the link, it wasn't there, but luckily I screenshotted all this stuff, so I had all the receipts. But yeah, the whole thing is meant, I went on Good Morning Britain to talk about cancel culture and to talk about, you know, why people shouldn't get cancelled for making, you know, misspeaking or comments being misconstrued. And then my comments were misconstrued and I got cancelled. So, you know.
But I can't get over the power dynamics there of, like, the most privileged woman.
Yeah.
You know, background being of royalty, multiple high level universities she's been to. And she's like, yes, I'm the one who's going to speak over you and talk down to you.
Yeah. No, you see this throughout
because
wokeism,
of your white privilege.
Because bear in mind, wokeism, to have the sort of resources to be able to sit around all day learning about intersectional feminism and all the rest of it, you've got to be pretty wealthy. If you've got to work 6 hours a week to feed your family and all the rest of it,
queer theory doesn't help.
Yeah, you don't have time to sit and fund all these masters in, you know, in gender equality theory or whatever. You know, it's nuts. It's obviously just a wealthy, educated person's hobby. So it's basically a new class system. If you don't have the money and the intelligence and the resources to sit and, you know, fill your head with all this nonsense, then you're not gonna be able to keep up with it. And it changes so fast.
You shouldn't
as well.
Be part of society.
that's basically what they think. So wokeism is just a new class system. It's like the Victorian era, the sort of etiquette system. So it's a way of these refined people to identify each other and also separate themselves from those that they see as less human. So yeah,
I think that's a good point to end on.
Cool.
Let's go to the next section because I think it's gonna be good fun. So, bomb the forums, radicalize the mums, or at least maybe that's the chant of some people using Mumsnet. So let's get this Mumsnet article up so people can see it. You may remember that, of course, in case there's some idiot YouTuber thinks I'm actually threatening bombing. That's a reference to Four Lions, in which the stupid Muslims in there, the Muslim terrorists, said that they would bomb the mosque to radicalize the moderate Muslims and make more terrorists. I assume you've seen it.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen it. And when he said that thing about stupid, he was referring to the ones in the film, not in general.
Yeah, they're actually stupid.
The ones in the film.
That's the premise of the film, is they are dumb.
But just the ones in the film.
Yeah, not in case anyone else is also not listening. But let's take a look at this. This is a Mumsnet post in which you can see two MPs sullied up to Mumsnet and thought they were going to have a jolly good time and have a very easy time because they decide they turn up and have a web chat about women and mums in politics with Stella Creasy and Caroline Noakes. We know that women, and particularly mums, the ones who can have children, those kinds of women, are underrepresented in politics, and that the makeup of those walking the corridors of power affects the decisions that are made. And they thought they were going to get questions about, how do you handle childcare or dealing with this or that or having a kid whilst you're in office and whatnot. And no, the mums didn't have those questions. The mums had a very specific question on their mind. What is a woman? And I'm just going to read out a whole bunch of the comments.
Oh man, it's so funny because if you ask any woke person, you can totally just seize their brain up by saying, what is a woman?
Yes.
Because they can't explain.
Exactly
what
happened.
There's no definition of a woman now.
So from each of these is from a different user. Do you think the treatment of MPs such as Rosie Duffield and Joanna Cherry by their own parties will put some women off standing for political office? Next commenter, what is a woman? Another one, do you think that women-only shortlists should include trans women without a gender recognition certificate? That is, include someone who was born male and legally a man? Next comment, should males be included in women's-only shortlists? Next comment, if only women in Parliament weren't female, then it would be so much easier. Next comment. Question for Stella. I've always voted Labour, and I've been a Labour Party member in the past, but I can no longer all vote to support Labour, given that Labour does not seem to know what a woman is. And it goes on and on and on. Just how do you define gender? Should male-bodied people be in women's prison? What the hell is a mum, Stella? It's great. It's just endless. If you could scroll down all the way, John, right to the bottom.
Did we get any answers?
We did, and we'll go through some of them. But all the way to the bottom, just because you can see the fact that there is 11 pages, apparently, of just comments of mums just being like, what the fuck is a mum, Stella? riddle me this. And the answers are bad, to say the least. As you can see, there are 260 comments, and the thread is now closed. no longer accepting messages. And I did see, going through a bunch of the pages there was one comment about the fact, what happened to the NSPCC web chat they had before? And I don't keep up with Mumsnet. Sorry, not a mum, not my place. And apparently that was another...
I identify as a mum.
That was another discussion in which the NSPCC were having discussion about safeguarding girls, and all the mums kept asking, how do we keep girls safe in toilets? And so they just closed down the whole web seminar because they were like, no, we can't have that discussion. Can't have that discussion at all. Oh, really? So if we go to the next link, we can see some of the MP's responses. And the first one will be the Conservative MP, Caroline Noakes, who failed her job at defining what a woman is. So she ended up saying, I want more women involved in public life. I want to be all women, natal women, trans women, and those who self-identify and do not, or perhaps never, will have a gender recognition certificate. And just to keep in mind, the Conservative MP, she's the head of the Women's and Equalities Committee.
So she wants more women involved in public life, and she wants that to be all women, natal women, trans women, and those who self-identify and do not yet or perhaps ever have a gender recognition certificate. So me.
All women, also including men.
Right.
We've got 100% female parliament, haven't we?
Well, I don't think it's men. Like, I identify as a woman.
Oh, well, there we
so
are.
I'm not a man. So she's not including any men.
I just have to lobby
women like me.
I just have to lobby all the male MPs to be like, are you really a man?
Then we'll solve the gender imbalance in parliament.
We can have 100% women.
Yeah.
100% diverse.
I'm going to be a mum.
So that's the Women's and Equalities Committee position on what a woman is, which is they don't know. Great job. Well,
they just say, like, it's everyone. A woman is anyone who wants to be a woman.
Anyone and everything. So let's move forward a few images here, because I think it's the third image where we get the response from the Labour diversity hire. And I'm going to call her that, because she literally says in this one, as you can see, I'm proud to have been selected on an all-women shortlist. You really shouldn't be. You're a bloody embarrassment to even say such a thing. I can't compete with men. I need to be given special privileges. That's the calibre of MP you are. Thanks for telling us. Anyway, so the Labour diversity hire was asked a question from none other than Graham Linehan. So if we go to the next image on this, sorry, the next image there, then you can see Graham asking directly. Hi, Caroline and Stella. My name is Graham Linehan. I have been visited by the police 3 times, banned from Twitter, and lost much of my livelihood because I think the question, what is a woman, is actually a very good one. Here is my single question, which I believe can be answered by a simple yes or no. Is Eddie Izzard a woman? And the Labour diversity hire just went on a big long spiel, as you can see, and it's just crap. So I'll cut down to the most important part. She just says, essentially, yes, if he wants to be. My feminism is inclusive of all those who are targeted by the patriarchy, because that's my target, as I believe it holds all women, those born them, and those who become them, back.
But what if the patriarchy, what if somebody from the patriarchy, i.e. me, is a woman?
I don't know. Are trans women part of the patriarchy?
Yeah.
I presumably not, according to Stella, in which case if all men just become trans women, then...
Well, just to be clear, I've still got my patriarchy membership card. So even though I'm a woman...
You're still paying the fee? You're still coming to the meeting
this
weekend?
That's the great thing about being in the patriarchy. It's free.
You're coming down the lodge later.
It's free. The great thing is, it's free. This is why, as a Scot, I like doing it. It's free to be in the patriarchy, and it's free to be a woman. It's amazing. I'm saving so much money.
Absolutely love it. But also, just Stella, you diversity hire idiot, and you've shown it again in this statement here. Those who are born a woman and those who become it. No one's born a woman. They're born girls, but they become women. Dunce.
That's right.
Moving on.
That's right. Unless there was, like, when somebody gave birth to a 47-year-old woman.
Doesn't happen. Just
like, long gestation period and then gave birth to Miss Marple.
So there's the political response to Mumsnet, and I love Mumsnet. I thank you all. And we love the mums, especially, just all calling this out. Yeah. And I love how these toffs, essentially, these upper-class MPs, they thought they were going to have a nice, lovely time just having a chat about, women's issues. No.
Yeah.
Open question. What's a woman? You can't answer it. Get the fuck out then. Fucking useless. And we go to the next image. We can see some of the responses from leftists on twitter.com, of course, because that's where they all live. So this is someone saying, this was meant to be a chat about women in politics, and practically every question is about trans people. Hard to see how you could not describe Mumsnet as radicalized at this point.
Radicalized.
Radicals.
Oh my God.
They think women are women. They're the radicals.
She would never describe, ISIS as radicalized.
No.
But, like, Mumsnet.
ISIS, well, they oppose Boris Johnson's comments, so they're kosher. but Mumsnet saying, what is a woman? That's them radicalized, is it? Right. If we go forward, we can see some more responses to this. There's someone here saying, it's no wonder that Owen Jones calls Mumsnet Prosecco Stormfront. You know what Stormfront is, don't you?
Yeah.
Neo-Nazi website.
Yeah.
The Prosecco Stormfront for saying women are women. No. You guys are the lunatics.
Not even saying women are women. They just said, what is a woman?
Yeah.
What is a woman?
What is a woman? Yeah. Who knows? Nobody knows.
Anybody who says they're a woman.
Nobody knows.
Yeah.
Who knows what the answer is? Certainly not your eyeballs.
Oh, well, so Owen Jones has replied. What did he say?
Oh, what did he say to this? I don't know. So if we could, I'm blocked by him because, who isn't at this point? Unfortunately, I can't credit for that one. Oh, apparently Owen didn't make the Prosecco Stormfront comment.
Oh, right.
Although, frankly, if it applies to anyone, it applies to the critical race theorist woke left. Because, of course, they literally sat around being like, yes, I have racial theories, but I've dressed it up in theory.
So now
it's acceptable.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, moving forwards. So we get to the next link here. Because you can see the CEO of Mumsnet even had to respond to all this drama, which is just funny. Today, Mumsnet had 28,000 plus posts on everything from Boris Johnson, ethical clothing, mental health, feelings invisible in your 40s, government childcare, top-up scheme, etc. Fewer than 1K were on sex and gender topic. MN has helped around 6,000, Mumsnet has helped around 6,000 women out of DV situation in the last 3 years. So saying that it's not majority of this. Yeah, but it doesn't really matter. And it doesn't really matter to the progressives, especially, Justin. The thing with them is that, well, there's heresy about. There are heretics on Mumsnet.
Yeah.
How dare they? Shut it down, boys. And there was a whole bunch of posts from Stella. And Caroline took it rather well. She was like, okay, yeah, people disagree with me and think I'm stupid. That's fine. The diversity hire, Stella. The returning comments from her throughout that forum post that I read through was her just getting increasingly uncomfortable. She didn't like having to discuss this at all. Of course she didn't. But let's move forwards. Because she also, the CEO says, calling Mumsnet radicalized and a torrent of misogyny, it seems, have sparked on Twitter. It's not particularly feminist. Like, oh, really? So we're going to have a debate about who's the real feminist. So I like that she, at least as the CEO, is keeping this all up because it tells us, frankly, where she lies, which is with free speech and not with censorship, which is good. But let's go forward. So let's go to the next one because there's some other hilarious stuff in response to this. Someone mentioning, golly, Twitter youth and the pronoun people are cross that the women of Mumsnet are politically engaged. They seem to be particularly enraged that the women are determined to safeguard their daughters. I wonder why. I wonder why, indeed. Because this isn't the only post that caused kerfuffle this week. It wasn't just those MPs. There was another post. I think we go through it because it's interesting. So this is someone here, some trans rights type, who is saying that Mumsnet is verboten and full of transphobes. And the story in here is from a Mumsnet user who wrote it out. They wrote out, the school's policy appears to be something along the lines that a trans girl can share with girls if they're okay with it, if the girls are okay with it. So this is her daughter who has come back and said to them, I want to share on the school trip with a trans girl and another girl. Daughter is proposing to share a room with a trans girl and another girl. Why do you differentiate there? We have said we are not happy about this. The daughter told the parents that that's transphobic. I was like, I don't know why you're taking any of that from a kid, but okay. To be clear, the kid seems perfectly nice and we think the scenario would probably be fine, says the mother. No idea what the other girl or her parents think, however. But a policy of, yeah, sure, mixed sex sleeping arrangements are fine if everyone agrees to it, sounds like a disaster waiting to happen, writes the mother. And it's unclear whether I'd know it was happening if I didn't already happen to know that A is trans. So the school didn't even tell her. Weren't
oh, right.
going to inform her
yeah.
at all. The mother can just butt out. How dare she have any complaints? The mother continues, I'm pissed off at being put in this position of having to be the one to point out that this is inappropriate and put a target on my head as hateful. It's clear that it would be extremely difficult for a girl in a similar position to say something and say she wouldn't be happy to share, because, of course, this would be class traitor. Because how dare she not be an ally? You always hate that term, ally. What do you need allies for? A war.
If you're fighting Hitler.
Yeah, so in this example, we're fighting a gender war, like a race war, except on gender lines. And we're going to use child soldiers, of course, because if the girl had rejected, she would have also been labeled transphobic, which is a good observation from the mother here. But she ends off, it seems like the school is relying on the kids to somehow work it out for themselves, and that no one seems to have spotted the obvious risks associated with such a precedent. And absolutely true. And this is a pretty, typical mum post, you could say, of modern Britain. Ran into the problem with insane school, making the point. So the police are spying on her.
What?
Let's go to the next one here. This is Southwest what? Police. If we could scroll up, they
what?
Published the fact that there was a survey going about, and this has also been shared. And then you can see Helen there, the one who posted that story, saying that, oh, how horrible Mumsnet is, it's transphobic. You might want to check out that they're responding to this on Mumsnet. And then scroll down a little bit more, you can see the police responded by saying, hi, Helen. Thanks for bringing this to our attention. We'll put it to our relevant teams to monitor.
This is the police are monitoring Mumsnet.
Police are spying on Mumsnet.
And can you tell me the history of suicide bomb attacks from Mumsnet?
I think it's at zero.
Is it at zero? What about,
cars, trucks? None of them yet.
Anything? Like, have they
What would they even shout? What would be the, you know, Allahu Akbar? What would you shout instead?
I wasn't talking. Whoa, why'd you bring that up?
For mums.
Well, that wasn't me, by the way. That wasn't me.
No, that's me. I don't.
That's him.
Okay. And then, so the police are now spying on Mum's Mep because this is a perfectly normal case. But speaking of, let's say, leftist cause rape, because this is what the claim is of why it's inappropriate, is because you could take a look at the Virginia case. I think, Loudoun County? I don't know if you're familiar.
No.
But there was a trans woman, a boy who said he was a girl, went into the bathroom, the woman's bathroom, and raped a female student.
Jeez.
And then the school tried to cover it up because it would look bad for trans rights.
Yeah. So, like with all this stuff, if it's bad for diversity, trans rights, you know, anything like that, they cover it up. Like they've done in a lot of towns.
Yes. And I thought we'd also mention some other rapes that have been caused by political correctness. To give you an example of where this is going, because it already happened in the United States, and if you don't stop it, Mums, specifically, if you're watching from Mumsnet, please subscribe. But we will also just go through this, because it is horrific, and everyone needs to see it. So this is an independent report that's come out. Child sexual abuse, extensive failures in tackling grooming, says report. So this is a new independent inquiry that's been going on by Alexis J that has just come out, and I think we ought to go through it, because it's very important. Data such as ethnicity of the abusers and victims was not collected and could have helped identify offenders. The inquiry found children as young as 10 were being labelled as only at risk, despite clear evidence that they were contracting sexually transmitted diseases, going missing with adults, and turning up late from house parties. House parties in quotes. The level of police in this country. They spend their time monitoring Mumsnet, but they can't identify when someone's clearly being raped. I know, they're only at risk of being raped. They've got an STD. Yeah, but still only at risk. Pathetic.
This has to change.
It's going to get worse.
Yeah.
The report said that in some cases, authorities might be potentially downplaying the scale of abuse over concerns about the negative publicity it may give them. It said local authorities, quote, don't want to be labelled another Rochdale or Rotherham. So you let child rape go on because you don't want to look bad.
So previously, they let in Rochdale and Rotherham, they let it go on because they didn't want to alienate the communities that were voting for them, and they didn't want to appear racist. And in fact, some people who raised it, social workers, healthcare workers who raised it as an issue, were sent on diversity training or demoted.
There's an interview with a civil servant who says that also she had a whole cabinet just full of cases and evidence. It all just mysteriously disappeared the next day.
Yeah,
Rotherham.
Yeah. And now they're saying they don't want to be labelled. Now they're letting it go on because they don't want people to know that it's happening because they'll get a bad name.
But also the stupid example there. I don't want to look bad, so I'm going to let child rape go on.
Yeah.
You think that doesn't make you look bad?
Yeah. Like, where's the morality? Where's the basic morality of these people?
This is the thing. This is what political correctness will do to your country. None of the areas examined by the IICSA kept data on the ethnicity of all victims and perpetrators. Just didn't bother. This is despite the Home Office regularly publishing general data about the ethnicity of criminals and the victims. Purposely done so to make it impossible to not find the bleeding obvious. Let's put it that way. Because we all know what the problem is there. Why not do it? Why not do it? What was stopping you? The performance of the Metropolitan Police in Tower Hamlets is particularly troubling. The force told the inquiry there were no cases or issues with child sexual exploitation by networks in the borough. Alexis J writes, "This cannot be right," citing evidence of vulnerable children in Tower Hamlets attending parties in hotels with adult men where they were pilled with alcohol and drugs and expected to take part in sexual acts. Tower Hamlets being, I think, the least British borough in all of the country. I'm just the statistics here. It's 31% white British, majority Bangladeshi, with 38% of the population in 2011 being recorded as Muslim. There's the demographics for you. In Swansea, a child was said to have had sexual partners from the age of 11. Legally, of course, there are no circumstances where a child under the age of 13 can consent to sex with an adult. That should be 16. I think that's a misprint by the BBC. Because this country, the age of consent is 16. How can you have sexual partners at 11? Police force? Just doesn't make sense. Other examples of abused children in the report include a child in foster care supplied with drugs at the age of 11 and sexually exploited, who was described in a court by defence barristers as racist and wanting to have sex with the perpetrators.
That's this is the sort of poison that critical race theory, because there'll be people out there, critical race theorists, who will agree with this. They'll say, yes, this 11-year-old child was racist. And this 11-year-old child did what, you know, they'll victim blame because this 11-year-old child exists in a systemic hierarchy of power and all the rest of it. Right. No, it's an 11-year-old child.
I never think we've spoken about today. The ADL, their definition of racism. Shola's position on systemic racism. These examples? No, these aren't racism. These are nothing to do with that. I can't believe it. An 11-year-old. The defense is like, yeah, the girl wanted to be raped and also is racist, so who cares?
And The Guardian had an article some time ago that was, it said that the myth of grooming gangs, like the grooming gangs is an issue, it was a far-right racist myth. They said, you know, just as it, like anybody who talks about it is far right. Anybody who raises it as an issue is far right.
Everyone outside of Guardian offices is far right.
Yeah.
You've got it. Yeah. There's also examples. A girl aged 14 forced at gunpoint to perform oral sex on 23 men, and a girl abused by a man who was herself convicted after chasing him with a bread knife. She tried to fight back with a bread knife and the police arrested her. I mean, it continues on, and it is getting worse and worse, and the stories are more and more horrific. And the cover-up is more and more criminal, in my opinion. I mean, quite frankly, if it takes that the police need to start facing prison time for their negligence because they are not doing what the Home Office bloody told them to do, so be it. I mean, people have to start going to prison if they're not going to get the message anywhere
else. And not just the police, and local authorities, and the actual political structure governing this, pushing the decisions, politicizing the decisions. I think this is absolutely disgusting. It's a cancer.
If we can show in court that you knew and did nothing, or even worse, made it worse, well, then you should be going to jail as a conspirator. I don't know what else to say. And all of this is caused by leftist political correctness around race and religion in this country. So the idea that we're going to allow that sort of thing to go into gender discussions and then destroy our society on that basis as well, I really hope we don't. I really hope we avoid it, because this is the kind of crimes it ends up leading to.
Yeah.
Let's go to the video comments.
This is my first 3D printer, which served me great for a year, but it is a relatively small printer, so I decided I should print something, and printed this. This is a Voron 2.4, a printer where all the plastic pieces, everything you see in blue and orange on this one, has been printed on the old printer. So, yeah, you can print a 3D printer.
This guy's too powerful to be left alive.
The machines have started replicating. I think humanity is now obsolete.
Yeah, mate, what have you done?
No, I think I look forward to robots taking over. I mean, at least robots won't have like any of this critical race theory nonsense.
No. Oh God, they've got much worse opinions. I'd have to show you. We did a podcast looking at some artificial intelligence.
Yeah, I remember.
Oh boy. Let's go to the next one.
Captain!
Yeah?
Oh, fuck! No!
The gods have filled the heart of the enemy general with fear. Now he flees the field like a coward.
Are you following the trucker story?
Yeah.
It's so mimetic.
Yeah.
These guys are racist, says the guy dressing up as blackface as
he speaks. Man. Yeah, he said anybody, like anti-vaxxers are racist and misogynist. Yeah. And it's like, what sort of leap of logic is that? That's insane. And it diminishes. Now the word racist has been completely decoupled from any meaning.
We're going to have to...
It doesn't mean racist anymore. It means something. It means somebody who's in some way political, has a different opinion about medical coercion. You know, that's not anything to do with race. But he's saying, you know, it's become this thing. Being a racist in 2022 is the worst thing you can be. But it's also the most common thing that people call each other.
It's the most meaningless thing.
It's most meaningless. Like, you can point at somebody and call them racist, and then everybody's like on Twitter, they're like, oh my God, that person's racist. Boo, you know, shame them, cancel them, fire them from everything. Don't ever let them work again. And it's like calling somebody a witch in the 1700s. Yeah. It's, you know, they've got the same level of meaning and the same level of impact on people's lives.
I'm sure we might cover this tomorrow, so I have to mention it in regards to Trudeau. He decided to tweet this out this morning, which is amazing. Today in the House, members of Parliament unanimously condemned the anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, anti-black racism, homophobia, transphobia that we have seen on display in Ottawa in the past few days. So he's just throwing everything with a kitchen sink at it, isn't he? Just like, I just call them all the names. Something will stick, hopefully. But yeah, I also saw someone went to McDonald's and was like, can I order the Justin Trudeau special? She was like, what's that? The McChicken? Love it. Love every bit of it.
It's got to be over for Justin Trudeau now, because he actually went into hiding, which is never a good look for a prime minister or a premier.
It's like Gerard Gaddafi. It's like
yeah. I hope he is pulled out of a drainage ditch. But for him to smear
a golden dildo on him or something.
for him to smear people who are free, standing up for freedom and, you know, standing up against tyranny and medical coercion. For him to frame them as racist and misogynist. It's disgusting. I mean, it didn't work for Hillary Clinton. It's not going to work. I think that's game over for Trudeau now.
There's a reason he's fled. There's a reason he can't just talk to people.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next one.
Looking at those great works of Western man and remembering all that he's achieved in philosophy, poetry, science, lawmaking, it does seem hard to believe that European civilization can ever vanish. And yet, you know, it has happened once. For two centuries, the heart of European civilization almost stopped beating. We got through by the skin of our teeth. Well, this is why it seems to me a good moment to look at some of the ways in which man has shown himself to be an intelligent, creative, orderly, and compassionate animal.
That's awesome. I love the old-timey British stuff. Mm. Yeah. There was one yesterday, you missed it, it was great. I think that's Alex Scott for us, which is there was a British guy traveling through America and he got pulled over by the cops. They were like, oh, you do self-protection, do you? Well, where's your knives, your guns? And he just went, we don't need any of that. We just have good manners. Great. Let's go to the next one.
Hey there, Lotus Eaters. I'm here at a protest event in Terrace, BC. And here we are, the unacceptable fringe minority. This group here is in Terrace, BC, and we're a town of population of about 10,000, so this is quite an absurd turnout. Having a blast.
Yeah, it does actually quite remind me of when the Eastern Bloc collapsed. Mm. And you can see photos from not just the capital, but just random towns and people all coming out together.
Yeah.
It's like when you know you've hit that far, you've really messed up.
Yeah. And he did it by alienating people. He could have just accepted, or he could have explained it in a non-alienating way. But and it also it's ridiculous to have the pandemic's pretty much over. We've got Omicron. Of the truckers, everybody thinks the truckers haven't been vaccinated. 85% of the truckers have been vaccinated. They're not against vaccination. A lot of them are pro-vax. They're against the mandate. They're against the medical coercion, which is a good thing to be against.
So it's just everything about them is glorious.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's like the occasional story that the worst they've done so far seems to be there was a soup kitchen giving out food and some of the truckers went up and got food.
Right.
It was made for the homeless. Right. So then a bunch of other truckers set up some soup kitchens apparently in Ottawa to make up for it.
Yeah.
Just be like, yeah, okay, so we'll give back and then we'll make up for it.
Yeah.
It's just so well behaved. Canadians. Let's go to the next one.
So I was thinking about women. So if trans women are women, does that mean that women are trans women? That doesn't seem right. So maybe trans women are a subset of women? What about cis women? So how do we define a woman? Who decides? When is transition complete? So following this logic, women are a subset of trans women? Who's going to tell Posey the good news?
I will actually send her this video. I'm going to put it on together. But also, I guess women is going to come a spectrum. You're womanish, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've had debates with people about this, and because I used to be like, yeah, trans women are women if they're hot enough, and also biological women are women if they're hot enough. If you're not hot enough, sorry.
You're a munter.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's a pretty good standard.
Like, that's a standard that works for me. But now I think, trans women are trans women. So it's like, it's a trans woman.
That compromise always seems best.
Yeah.
Like, why can we not just have trans women and women and then that's it?
Yeah.
We all know what the hell we're talking about as well.
You're still a woman, but you're a trans woman.
Yeah.
Like, unless you've got a beard and you've made no effort, then, you know, I'm sorry. But like, because some of them...
The lady on Dr. Phil.
Oh man, some of them are like, you know, it's like, why am I having to do all the heavy lifting in your transition in my mind? What I mean? Like, it's not my transition. Like, the ones who put an effort in, like Blair White and stuff, if you put effort in, man, totally, 100% go for it. You've absolutely got a right to call yourself that gender.
Did you see the one on Dr. Phil with the beard?
No.
So this, it's just a dude, went on and was just like, yes, no, I'm a trans woman and you have to accept it. But then someone linked her Instagram on Twitter after the debate to be like, look, you've got to see this. And there is so little effort made, it's ridiculous. Like, it's just a huge bulge in this bikini. And it's just like, oh, come on, at least try and hide it if you were concerned with this. But no, I mean, you've got a beard, you're not concerned. She's just taking the piss. So let's go to the next one.
There has been some complaining lately about people with higher education, that they not get the attention and respect they deserve. Well, have you tried not being completely nuts? Maybe it will help.
Good advice. Hmm. Don't be crazy. People might actually like you. Dear leftists. Let's get the next one.
Lads, my question for Monday was more a question of who's actually going to be presenting on what days. Just so if I've got a question for, say, Carl, I know to put the video on the day before. Also, this is taking a lot of work and a lot of money and time to get done, and I've wanted it for a while. That really hurt.
Yeah, that filling in really doesn't look fun. I don't have any tattoos, but I just don't want to.
Yeah.
It just looks like pain for no reason.
But that's a good question about what days we're on. Because yeah, I'm supposed to be on every Tuesday, but I had to move it to Wednesday.
Yeah, because things happen. We don't have a way of solving that because it's just things happen, as I say. But we do have a way of solving the video comment part, which is that Michael likes to save them. So if a guy sends us something for Carl and Carl's not on, he just saves it until he is. And then
that's
our way around it.
Ah, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. Yeah.
So if you want to ask something for Leo, just say it's for Leo. And then Michael will save it until you're back on.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next one.
But pronounce my name correctly. Phonetically.
Rakena made a good point on Monday. We should see healthcare more like we see retail. If a bloke walks into Best Buy talking about Pokemon, you expect him to leave with a Nintendo Switch, not a shredder. If a bloke goes into healthcare with a broken leg, you can see the bone sticking out. You do not expect him to leave with a pap smear.
Yeah, sure. I also, one of the things I hate about the United States healthcare system is that it should be obvious about how much something costs. Like, you should be able to, I don't know why the federal government hasn't stepped in yet. You should be able to call up a hospital and say, how much is a birth cost?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because my wife's pregnant, she's going to give birth in 3 months.
But I guess there's a lot of different things that can go wrong or go right.
So it's made it a mess.
Even though I'm a free market capitalist, I believe in socialized healthcare because it's more efficient. The United States spends more per head on assessing and doing all the sort of worthless, unproductive analyzing of how much somebody should pay for insurance and whether assessing a claim and stuff than we do per head on actually providing the healthcare.
The option isn't just UK or America. We can.
There's other options as well. But I mean, I just think also from an incentive point of view, if your healthcare is if people are making money off it, I don't know. Like obviously even the NHS people are making money off it, but the NHS just has an incentive to sort of treat you and make you better. Whereas under my cousin was a locum for a Harley Street doctor doing palliative care for people with terminal illnesses, and people were coming in with terminal illnesses really rich but obviously desperate. So they were selling like completely inappropriate treatments to desperate people when they should have just had palliative care to help them enjoy the last time they had with their family and stuff, instead of being zonked out with these treatments. So, but obviously the surgery could make more money from selling those treatments. So I think having an incentive to cure people instead of make money off them is a better incentive.
Unfortunately, the government doesn't just have that incentive taken away, let's say, which is good. It then has the incentive to hire loads more administrators, as the NHS does. I think 50% of the staff now in the NHS are all administrators.
Yeah, but
the wokeness and whatnot. I think I can agree that the American system also isn't appropriate. But I wonder, I'm looking more and more to like the German or French model of insurance and it being state funded still to some degree, especially for anyone who can't afford it. But that maybe this isn't working.
Yeah.
Because have you followed, there's an account called Days of NHS Spending. Have you followed that account? I'll send you it. It's just, you start realizing how much money you're spending and how much of it's being wasted. And you just think, okay, yeah, ours doesn't work either. Something's got to change. I don't know what the correct solution is. I'm not a healthcare guy, but God, things are messed up. But we'll save that debate for another time.
Yeah.
Send you the account. Let's go to the next one.
A common argument I am seeing people make for the vaccine mandates is that, well, vaccines to attend schools are already the norm. How are these mandates any different? Well, first off, they've answered their own question. Those policies only affect schools and young people. You are not required to get the MMR to work, buy groceries, or leave your own home. The severity is much higher. Second, this is a good debate strategy provided that you know that your opponent holds these two contradictory views. But what this actually does is open the door to re-examining those policies. I can just Chad respond, you're right. Those are immoral too.
Yeah. I mean, I'm learning about people who are going to like universities in the United States and they've got to go get the booster or they're being kicked off their course.
Right.
They're already double vaxxed.
Yeah.
Going to get a booster, you're kicked off.
Yeah, anybody at this stage, every who isn't vaccinated has had coronavirus at least once or possibly twice. There's hardly anybody who hasn't had it at all.
No.
So what's the, you know, I think we can relax a bit now.
Let's go to the next one. Showing off.
Is that 130 pounds? What's that in kilos?
Translate.
About 54.
59, apparently. I'm sick. Well, good motivational message there, I guess. Go lift, if you're listening. Let's go to the next one.
There's a claim going around on social media stating that the truckers have blocked paramedics from getting patients to the trauma center, which has resulted in one of those patients dying. The protest is taking place right here on Parliament Hill, and the trucks are partially blocking Wellington Street and are parked down along Sir John A. Macdonald Parkway here. This here, the Ottawa Hospital, is where the trauma center is located in Ottawa.
All right, well, yeah, good to know. If someone's spreading fake news, we know it's fake now. Thanks, Jeff. I hope you're right. Go to the next one.
Tony D and Little Joan with another Legend of the Pines from Weird New Jersey Magazine. It's the holy, holy altar of Mount Holly. This strange altar rests upon a hill in Mount Holly, and legend has it a woman summoned the Jersey Devil, was killed by the devil, and the local sealed her body and the devil into this altar, which says holy, holy, holy on the sign. Finally, I know where the Jersey Devil got to.
Oh, good. Well, then we know how to release him too, don't we? And, I see Joan does too. Anyway, thanks. He's never going to run out of Jersey Devil tales, I'll tell you. We're on what, like episode 300 and something? And he's still got more. Let's go to the next one.
I'm sorry, but people are sheep. So I am at the supermarket. I was also at the supermarket yesterday where everyone except me was wearing a mask. And today, nobody is wearing a mask. Why? Because daddy government said that now we are allowed. And people still wore the mask all up until yesterday. Why today and not yesterday? Because we needed a date, I guess. And people are just sheep.
Yeah. I'm inclined to agree with that. Yeah, I mean, I didn't see it too much, to be honest. Here, I still see loads of people wearing masks, even though they don't need to.
Yeah, on public transport in London, like it's a sort of it's still like mandated on public transport. There's still quite a lot of people who don't bother.
Yeah.
So I never get any like. I've been asked by a couple of police officers, you know, can you wear a mask? And I just say I'm exempt, and they're like, fine.
I've been using British embarrassment about these things as well. She's right. Like, oh, sorry, I'm exempt. And then but like in a way that's like, oh, I'm terribly sorry. And they're like, oh, no trouble at all.
I do it like I'm announcing my transgenderality. I'm like, I'm exempt.
I'm exempt.
I'm exempt.
Stunning and
How
brave.
How dare you? And I'm trans.
Yeah, thanks
I'm
for the update,
woman.
Sophie.
I'm a mom. One.
Howdy, Lotus Eaters. I saw there was some talk about Battletech. Here is some of my Battletech stuff. This is all from MechWarriors, which is the WizKids game of Battletech. I use these in my Battletech games as count as. And I also do actually use this as other minis during tabletop games for sometimes robots, other things, mech suits, what have you. I use these sometimes. I still have to repaint some of these things because they're pretty busted.
Already, good lord, you have a lot of Battletech.
Yeah, what is Battletech?
So it's a tabletop game, is my understanding.
Like World of Warcraft.
What? No, tabletop. So you've got like little minis and you
Isn't World of Warcraft the thing? Games Workshop.
Oh, you mean Dawn of War?
40K. Games Workshop. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Is World of Warcraft a computer game?
Yes.
Right. And Games Workshop is what he's got.
Is a mini store.
Right.
I don't think they sell Battletech.
There's so many different ways to protect your virginity these days. It's incredible.
That's quite a lot.
Yeah.
I do wonder how much you spent on Battletech, though. Let us know. Let's go to the next one.
Hi, guys. Yeah, All Around the World's a great song. And Callum, French is gay. I mean, I don't know why I have to say this again. What languages do you know? I hope you don't know any gay languages. I just asked because you seem to be the one who just bursts into Swedish occasionally on the podcast. So, yeah, let me know. I'm currently trying to learn Italian, Greek, and Czech for some holidays that I'm going on. Thanks, guys.
Nice. He once said French is gay, so yeah. I mentioned it the other day.
Yeah, that guy's so Scottish, I can't understand what he's saying. Yeah. Like, you need to master English before you move on to like Italian, Greek.
Sorry, Czech. Are you Scotch shaming?
No, I'm Scotch shaming. No, that's great. That three languages. That's amazing. I want to learn Spanish, and I want to move to South America, Costa Rica or something.
No,
I do. Okay. No. I love cocaine, but like, no, I just want to move there. Tell you what, I had some ADHD.
I love crime.
I had some ADHD medication, and I reckon I've got ADHD because it made me really productive. But also, it was like being on, like, just a nice dose of cocaine for a whole day. Just a nice, like, even, no sort of like, it was like a nice level dose. That's what ADHD medication is. It's just basically slow release cocaine.
This is not medical advice.
This is
the opinions of Lucas. Do not represent that.
This is exactly what it is. Honestly, it's great. I'm going to go to the doctor and get diagnosed as ADHD.
I might give that a go.
ADHD
just see if it works.
Yeah. No, honestly, I've never been so productive in my life. And it's not like, so I took, I used to get modafinil, which is the stuff, you know, that just makes you sort of focused and not tired and stuff. But modafinil stops you being funny and expressed, turns you into a bit of a robot. So it's good if you've got like just work you can power through. But the ADHD stuff I had was really just, you know, it was the same person, right, but just a bit coked up.
You any other gay languages or just Spanish?
Why does he call it a gay language?
Because it's French and therefore the French are gay.
Well, no, they do loads of heterosexual shagging.
What, like fucking men?
No. I mean, like, well, yeah, the women do that. The French are so heterosexual. They've got like a wife and they've got a girlfriend and they've got a mistress. And they're shagging someone else as well.
Yeah, but their accent's still gay.
So much. And they ride around little scooters and they still manage to do that much shagging.
Overcompensating, me feels.
No, I think French is a fun language. Okay. I think Spanish is a fun language as well.
As for myself, I like dabbling in languages because I just find them interesting. I never really master them because I'm crap.
Yeah.
So like, I've learned a bit of Russian, German, Swedish, a few words in Danish for a laugh, like knulla day. I love, yeah. Just means F you. I just think it sounds funny.
Right, yeah.
And then I'm trying to learn Korean at the moment, so.
Privyet divochka.
Privyet.
That's hello, woman or girl or something. In Russian.
Privyet jenshina, be hello woman.
Privyet divochka.
I can't remember what divochka means.
Divochka is, I think it's
sounds
more
like you're saying divodka.
It's more like a girl that like you're familiar with.
Oh, right. Yeah. I mean, privyet, informal. But
yeah.
Let's go to the video comment. Oh, not the video comment, the written comments, just to end this off. But we'll try and be quick. So Whoopi Goldberg, I'll just read a couple out. Shaker Silver says, it wasn't for her race that she was spared. It was for, oh, crap. Oh, sorry, the screen moved there. It wasn't for her race that she was spared. It was for being a true believer in the message who bowed in obedience to the mob. You wouldn't see Candace Owens getting this slap on the wrist for comments like that. Yeah, that is somewhat true. But again, it is true that just if you're not white, you can get away with saying things to some extent. I think you're right that the amount of leniency for Whoopi is probably due to ideology, not because of her race. I stand corrected. Catastrophic Regression Threshold says, so anything that isn't the oppression of black folks by white folks is insignificant, huh? Guess we can never talk about the whole black-on-black crime issue or tribal killing in other countries. Cool. Nor the Holocaust. Also not a racist situation. Well, let's move on to Dr. Shola's comments.
Dr. Shola. Captain Charlie the Beagle says, Dr. Shola is the descendant of royalty. Just proves that privilege can buy education but not intelligence. True. I mean, she's obviously like a smart, she's got loads of degrees and stuff, but she's directing that intelligence in the wrong direction.
The universities, though, was it like Cambridge, Oxford, London School of Economics? It was just like,
yeah, it's really good, really good universities.
Birkin, whatever the hell it is. It's just like, right. Yeah. And you're going to talk down to me about privilege, are you?
Yeah. Literally the daughter of a Nigerian prince. So, like, we're talking about privilege. Monarch. I mean, like, whatever nonsense you've made up that says, you know, you can only be privileged if you're white, that's nonsense. Edward of Woodstock says, how dare they call Leo racist? He has his own certificate saying that he's not racist.
Did you pull that?
Yeah, I should have brought it out. I'm not racist. And also he mentions he needs to make a bingo card for Leo podcast episodes. Central Square will of course be Punt Gun, not available in America, because I haven't mentioned, but my dad had a gun that was banned in America. It's called a Punt Gun. It's huge. Lord Nerevar says that Dr. Scholl is what happens when you combine diversity quotas with a lack of self-awareness, so acute that it's surprising she can find her own limbs. Snow Dog says, all the skeletons fall out of the closet once the cancel mob are at the digital door. The problem is most are made out of plastic, look like Pennywise, and are put there by the ones trying to cancel you. And finally, Jimbo G says, gotta respect the grift of Dr. Scholl getting wheeled out in daytime TV to wag her finger at people who aren't race communists. I bet she has a lovely house. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I think she is does. Making it.
Like, did you see her behind her?
Yeah. But then, I mean, I don't know if she needs to, being like the scion of royalty, I don't know if she really needs the 150 quid you get for being on Good Morning Britain.
I bet she still asks. So for the Net Mums. Zen Chan says, clearly mum suicide bombers would scream long... they would scream live, laugh, love.
That's funny.
I hate those signs. You go to someone's house in this country, for foreigners who might not know, there's these, like, you must get them from IKEA. They just say live, laugh, love, and they're in every house in this country. Yeah. And
some people get tattoos.
What, twos?
Tattoos.
Oh, tattoos saying live, laugh, love.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Free Will 2112 says, this country is not too far off being like East Germany in the lives of others, and the police are almost the stars. I really need to watch that.
Oh man, amazing film. Film.
I only found one version for free.
Pay the £3.99,
but it was in German.
Watch it. Just pay. It's not worth learning German to see this film. Just pay to buy this film. You've got the money.
I know most of it. Exercise for Reich. We mustn't. No, that's Carmen. So Callum Dayton, and lefties, along with the government, don't understand why there is so much contempt for them and their policies. It's in plain sight, and they don't understand. Quote: what you say is factually true, but politically incorrect. There is no graphite on the roof. Yeah, I really hate how a lot of, you know how a lot of people go, oh, it's just like 1984 and you get a bit bored of it. Mm. But a lot of these comparisons are becoming more and more true in modern day Britain, especially around the grooming gangs, where it's just like, I just didn't want to say anything. I was just like,
yeah.
Fucking why? These are child rapists. But anyway, sorry to end on a downer, but let's go back for an upper. So where do they find you?
So I'm on Twitter, Leo Kearse. I'm on YouTube as well. You see, I upload videos, funny videos. I'm up to 27,500 subscribers.
Lovely
now,
interviews.
So not quite Lotus Eaters level, but yeah, you can see videos of me doing stand-up. You can see all kinds of stuff on there.
All the full Scholl debate you can also find there, I believe.
Yeah, that's on there as well.
Yeah. Well, otherwise, please do subscribe to lotuses.com. You can get access to the premium content, or just go and check out the website, of course, for the free content, as I mentioned. Otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you and goodbye.
Bye.